You're listening to a Chicks Talking Footy podcast on Joy 94.9. We're chicks and we love talking footy.
This week on the show, we're going to talk to lots of fans about what their experiences are. And our first one is Alice Murray, who, thrill upon thrill, is an Essendon supporter. Welcome to the show, Alice.
Thank you.
So tell us, this is a strange old season, as we know, and we've talked about it, everyone's talked about it a million times. So what was pre-2020 football week like for you?
Pre-2020 football week, I looked forward to the weekends as opposed to the midweek games. I put my tips in on Thursday, made sure they were all in on Thursday. I'd organised to meet friends at the game, and if it was a home game, of course. I think I was probably a bit more engaged than I have been this year. It's been really hard this year to keep track of who's playing what, and my team's playing 4 o'clock on a Thursday this week. So it's just, it's much, much harder to keep track of what's going on this year than it was, you know, last year, and certainly much easier last year to, to plan and look forward to it.
And so, you know, it's changed for all of us, and I agree, it's kind of harder to engage when you don't have those rituals of, you know, for me it was walking to the G and meeting up with friends, buying the hot dog, but how have you adapted to stay connected to your community?
Oh, to stay connected to my community?
Your Essendon community, of course.
Yeah, your Bombers, your Bomber mates.
Yes, I knew what you meant. Well, Facebook, I suppose. I haven't seen any of the friends I normally go to the football with because of this interminable lockdown. I've gone to the bakery and bought pies and had pies at home instead of having footy. And I live with my partner's a Collingwood fan, so she will put up with watching Essendon games, but it's not quite the same as sitting next to someone who's enjoying them with you. One thing I was really surprised about this year is, you remember in the first sort of week or two where they trialled like not having crowd noise? Mm. And I thought I would hate having fake crowd noise, but I actually found it quite reassuring. I've come to like it, because I think hearing what they were saying was just a little bit too close and a bit too real.
So. I totally agree with that.
Did you? So you didn't like it either, Fee? I loved hearing what they were saying. I reckon somewhere in between would be good.
To me, it sounded like I was listening to watching a practice match or something. And I said at the time, I don't know if you remember on the show, I said it was like having a conversation with someone when they're not making eye contact. It just felt very flat and very disconnected without the reaction of the crowd when a goal's been kicked and an umpire making a bad decision and no booing happening. And, you know, it just felt very emotionally cold watching those games in the first round.
So the person that's doing the crowd noise, I don't know how they do it, but they do it really, really well, I think.
I agree.
You can imagine someone in a room just pressing, you've got 10 buttons, 10 options, and just pressing.
Well, my only objection is to that they play booing. I think that's an opportunity to not have booing in the game. So when someone's lining up for goal, they play booing. Just like, come on, guys. You don't need to do that.
It is very realistic.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And so, Alice, what did you think when we played that first round? I remember the announcement on the last, I think it was a Sunday night. Actually, Hawthorn were playing when the announcement happened. But what did you think? Did you think the season would continue? Did you think this is it? We're going to have to forfeit the year?
Look, I don't know. I just remember when they first played, and I thought, oh, thank God, we're going to have a little bit of normal this year. And then, it hasn't been normal. It's been better than nothing, but I'll be really, really pleased when it goes back to at least having some supporters in the stadiums. And I kind of get annoyed when I watch what's going on in Queensland and South Australia, because it's all so normal there. Do you know what I mean?
Now, let's flick back just a couple of days to the Dreamtime game at the T, they were calling it, being TIO Stadium. Did you watch?
I watched most of it, yeah. I'm not hanging in there these days if I know it's not going to kind of be a good outcome. I mean, obviously the highlight for me was Mozzie.
Oh, so, we've got a new cult hero at Essendon. We love that.
Totally.
Irving Mosquito.
He wins best name ever, too, of that's ever played football, surely.
Yeah, he
does.
So, Irving Mosquito. And he's so fresh-faced, and he was so excited getting the two goals. And, you know, that was just a highlight for me. Obviously, we had a bad decision against us, which turned the game around somewhat. And after that, I was like, yeah, this is not going to go well. It's been one of those seasons where I've just had to let it go. I mean, we're nowhere near the eight. We're not going to get the eight. And I've just accepted it.
Well,
the Dreamtime game, though, it just seemed very special in the Northern Territory. The ceremony beforehand with the welcome, where they welcomed everybody and, you know, had the dancing and that sort of thing. I just thought surely the Northern Territory has to become part of the Dreamtime and the Indigenous round.
What would you two think if the AFL announced that the game was always going to be, the Dreamtime game would always be in the Northern Territory from now on?
I thought it was such a fantastic welcome to country and fantastic spectacle, and, you know, pity the poor players having to run around in, you know, 30 plus feet. I just think it was really appropriate, and it was lovely to see. And I think that's the one main game, you know, that could continue up there, I'd rather it there. So, yeah.
I thought so too. There was something really special about it. I also think there's room for both. You know, having a big game at the G during Indigenous Round and having some games in the Northern Territory, because, you know, there's no reason we can't have both. That's my thought.
It just seems, Kevin Sheedy starting it, his connection to and support of a lot of Indigenous players and things like that, it just seems so appropriate that game is the one that's up there. But or maybe they work out which two teams have got the most Indigenous players, and they become the two that play each year that Dreamtime game in the Territory. Who knows?
Open for discussion for sure. Open.
Sure.
Now, Alice, you're a member of the Purple Bombers, if I hear correctly on the grapevine. So the Purple Bombers have really pioneered as one of the LGBTI supporter groups of the Essendon Football Club. And we've certainly been to a couple of Ida Hobbit events ourselves with the Purple Bombers. But what are you doing what are the Purple Bombers doing to connect during ISO lockdown time?
It's just through Facebook. If there's been events, I haven't sort of done anything really. It's been really nice to get to know that same crowd. It's always nice if you want to go to the football. And I go to the football with my friend Malcolm. We've got seats together. And if ever he can't go and I go on my own, I've always go catch up with the Purple Bombers and have a drink with them at halftime, and that's fun. So I don't know. It's just nice to know there's always going to be someone at the footy there to catch up with when we go. But I mean, this year, I don't think I've spoken to anyone from the group really, apart from on Facebook.
I think everyone's just doing the best they can, aren't they?
Yeah. But you know, it's going to be a better year next year.
It will indeed. Alice, thanks very much for chatting to us on Chicks Talking Footy, and we'll see you at a game in 2021.
Definitely. All right. See you there.